If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
What's up, guys? Red Nation News Podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Red Nation underscore hoops on Twitter. Here joined by Ali Khan Bijani at Rockets underscore Insider. How are you doing today, man?
Great, man. How are you? It's a good couple days for us in Red Nation. Rockets win their fifth consecutive game tonight. James Harden himself, you know, gets above a 10,000 points mark with a good 27 points, 11 assists performance tonight. I mean, the team is up and coming.
Yeah, and I don't blame you if you're a fan that's, you know, struggling to buy this, if they're actually turning a corner or not. You know, they've been known to do these kind of, you know, streaks of like 10 or so games where they have, like, they win like 6 of 4, and then they come back and then lose like 3 in a row. So I don't blame you if you're a fan out there that's, you know, struggling to buy this. But, I mean, winning 5 games in a row, it's a positive sign either way you look at it. James Harden actually reached a pretty important achievement tonight. Ali Khan, tell me about it.
Yeah, so like I mentioned as we started, he got over 10,000 points for his career in his 492nd game. There's only 7 other players in NBA history to ever reach that mark. So, I mean, that's a hell of an accomplishment, you know, for James Harden and in his great career so far.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, in the likes of Grant Hill, LeBron James, you know, great players like that. So it's definitely, applaudable achievement for him.
Yeah, he's the seventh player since 1985 with 10,000 points, 2,000 rebounds, 2,000 assists, 700 steals, and 200 blocks in less than 500 games. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's really, really good. And, you know, as for tonight, he had an okay performance, I would say. He did shoot pretty poorly from the field, and he did chunk up a whole bunch of three-pointers and kind of miss it. But I would say it was an okay game. It was enough to get the Rockets overboard. And, you know, the Rockets have been kind of struggling when James Harden shoots so poorly. And the fact that they've won this, they actually managed to win this game with him shooting so poorly, I would say that's an encouraging sign. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, I think one stat I wrote down in my insider post this morning, you know, the Rockets, when Harden is not on the floor in the past 5-6 games, they're shooting upwards of 124 points per 100 possessions. Earlier in the season, in the first about 30 games of the season, whenever James Harden was off the floor, the Rockets only mustered up 94, 92 points a game, I mean, per 100 possessions. So it's a lot of improvement being made. Second unit's key shots. The second unit is playing their opportunistic team. They're getting turnovers, and they're pushing the basketball in transition. And one thing from tonight that I really enjoyed was watching Corey Brewer pick apart the Minnesota Timberwolves transition defense. When he got to that strong side, he got into the driving lane, just scored like a gazelle. It was incredible to watch.
Yeah, his former team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. It was nice to see him kind of sort of bounce back, because he's had a sort of a rough year, as with everybody on the Rockets. Actually, the last 14 games, he's been doing pretty damn well. I think the last 15 games, he's been shooting upwards of 36% from the three-point line, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, on spot-up three-point opportunities in the past 15 games, you know, he's shooting 45%. Now, yeah. Corey Brewer, a guy that, you know, struggles from everybody else on the three, but when he shoots from the corner, when he's attacking a transition, that gets him going. And the Rockets need his shooting. In those wins, in those 15 games, those wins that they've had, he shot 48% from three.
Yeah.
I mean, that you know, having Corey Brewer out there pushing the pace in transition, being able to knock down a corner three and space the floor for the second unit, I mean, it's big. You know, with Lawson out the past couple of games, I've noticed that the Rockets have been tending to give Mark Stoughton and Jason Terry more freedom to initiate offense for the second unit. And actually, the past couple of games, Jason Terry is averaging about 5-6 assists per game. You know, he's bringing the ball at the floor. passing it off to Thornton or Brewer who are coming up curl routes. All five players for the second year moving without the basketball. You know, that's what the Rockets need. They need that continuity from with their second team, not only on the defensive end, but as well on the offensive end, to, you know, to stagger James Harden minutes. And he's not playing more than 33 minutes a night the past couple games. I mean, tonight he only played about 34 minutes. So, you know, he's not reaching that 40-minute mark that J.B. Bickerstaff has talked about.
But that's what you want. That's what you want. Yeah. You want to limit his minutes throughout an 82-game season. You want his minutes to be down so he's fresh and ready for the playoffs. I mean, we've seen what the numbers are on these high-minute players. I mean, Jimmy Butler last year, when he played high minutes, he had some months where he struggled from the field. Like there's a lot of data behind that. When you play upwards of 36 to 40 minutes a game, I mean that has a severe impact on your field goal percentage, your 3-point percentage, everywhere. Your legs just aren't there. It's encouraging the Rockets can manage to muster out games with him only playing like 34 minutes, and they managed to do that tonight with a pretty, I would say, steep guard rotation. I mean, Patrick Beverley was out for a personal reason. He should be back next game. Ty Lawson just came back from serving his 4-game suspension. And what do you think of Ty Lawson? I didn't really get a good handle on him. I mean, he played okay to me. Not really anything that stuck out to me. I guess he had 3 assists. He was 2 for 6 from the field, 6 points.
So the biggest thing for me for Ty Lawson, I think he played his role today really well. I think he's getting into his own and he's being aggressive. So the one thing about Ty Lawson early in the season was when he was coming off that pick and roll, he wasn't attacking. He wasn't being aggressive. Now he's looking for his step back jumper. If the jumper's out there, he'll use his hesitation dribble to get past the defender and score. And the biggest thing is the Rockets are letting him bring up the basketball. Now when you play James Harden those 40 plus minutes per night and you have him bring up the basketball, and you have him initiate the offense, that's not good. Having Ty Lawson play 25, 30 minutes a night, letting him initiate the offense, letting him, you know, play his style, let him score himself, that just opens up your playbook. That just gives you a variety of options. All that versatility is available for J.B. Bickerstaff to use.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate the suspension kind of cut him off a little bit when he was on that roll of a few, he stringed together like a few good games, and it wasn't just those once every 5-game occurrences where, you know, fans would be like, oh man, we have Ty Lawson on our team. It was actually a pretty good amount of games to where you thought it would continue if he had stayed on the floor, but, you know, the suspension had cut him off a little bit. And now as we approach the January 15th deadline, I mean, we got a lot of emails and Twitter responses about Ty Lawson, this trade. I mean, I'd say it's a pretty good time for him to be playing well. I mean,
on his step-back jumper, by the way, you know, just like James Harden, he's shooting 47% right now from step-back. Ty Lawson himself is shooting 44% on step-back jumpers.
Yeah, that's what he did in Denver, and he hasn't been able to do that so far in Houston. He's been sort of... You can just tell when he's out on the floor, he didn't want to step on anyone's toes. He did a lot of dribble handoffs, and he'd cut around a lot, and he'd move without the basketball, but, it's just not him. He has to have the basketball in his hands. And it's good to see him sort of get his rhythm back like he was in Denver. I mean, you and me both watch his tape. He has a hell of a lot of hesitation moves, step-back jumpers, you know, a lot of ways to get the defender off guard, collapse on him, and find open guys. He has a lot of ways to do that, and we haven't been able to see it. And, you know, it's encouraging to see him get this rhythm back for this January 15th deadline. Whether the Rockets decide to deal him or not, I mean, if they decide to deal him, I mean, this is only upping his trade value. If they don't decide to deal him, that gives you more incentive to keep him. I mean,
from what I've heard around from those I talked to who are close to the situation, Coach Bickerstaff likes Ty Lawson, and he thinks that he can help him mesh along well with James Harden. And I think even when that 15 deadline comes, I think with the way the team is playing right now, and I mean, you have to wait and see how they play Friday. We'll talk about that later. But I think you let this go for a couple more games. Let Donatas Matiunas come back, integrate him back into the lineup. You know, see how this team is healthy. We want to see how Lawson and Matiunas can run the second unit offense together. You want to see how Lawson and James Harden can play, you know, more minutes together and see how well they play together. Because in today's game, there were a couple instances when Lawson and Harden were on the floor together, and the Rockets were just pushing the basketball and attacking downhill. And, you know, something Kevin McHale used to talk about every single game was attacking downhill, and finishing every single play. And when Lawson and Harden were on the floor tonight, that's exactly what I saw. And so I'm not ready to give up yet on Ty Lawson. And more than anything, I'm buying more stock into Ty Lawson.
Yeah, and I would say I agree with you. You know, that problem last year where the Rockets struggled to find a secondary playmaker, that was real. Like, James Harden had way too much of a heavy load on him last year, and that's the whole point of bringing in Lawson. And I think it's encouraging to see him anchor that second unit, because that second unit last year, I mean, you remember the offensive numbers on them last year. The offensive ratings and the defensive ratings were terrible when James Harden was off the floor. And now when you have a guy like Ty Lawson, you know, handle the ball, kind of control the offense when James Harden's off, I mean, that's a really nice sign. It's something the Rockets have been looking for a long time in the James Harden era. I mean, they had Chandler Parsons and Jeremy Lin a couple years ago. They don't have anybody like that now to sort of anchor the offense.
To all those people who were saying Ty Lawson is done, congratulations. You played yourself, in the wise words of DJ Khaled. No, I mean, he's playing much better basketball, and I think that the Rockets will continue to employ him in the second unit, get him going. There's a reason why Jason Terry started today. It's not only because Jason Terry has been playing better as of late, and he's been more part of the lineup, but also because they want Ty Lawson to have the basketball on his hands with second unit. They want him to create. And, you know, in the past couple games before the suspension, he was doing that, and he did that today. And I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, he continues to progress with the team.
Yeah, and you mentioned JB a little while ago about how he wants to keep Ty Lawson. What do you think of JB right now? In his tenure with the Rockets, he's definitely had a better record than Mikhail so far. But I mean, that's not really saying much. I mean, I guess you could, like, some of the moves that JB made, you know, taking Ty Lawson out of the second out of the starting lineup, and starting Jason Terry or Patrick Beverley. I mean, those were moves that Kevin Mikhail was inching towards. So, I mean, and I guess you can say the real unique move he's made is that Clint Capella-Dwight Howard lineup that's worked so successfully, that's been working, you know, quite well. I think right now, if you check right now on NBA.com, two-man rotations, Clint Capella and Dwight Howard are the best two-man rotation on this Rockets team, which is really surprising. They have the best plus-minus, they have the best net rating, and it's by a wide margin. I mean, and when you watch them, I mean, they seem to be playing pretty well defensively, anchoring the paint, anchoring defense. And I'm not really sure how it's going to work as a long-term offensive solution, but for right now, it's working, and I think that's a pretty good move by JB.
I mean, on JB, I think he's doing the best job he can. Whenever I hear the term player coach, a player's coach, I cringe a little bit. Because those coaches are the ones that players, you know, they half-ass work. Yeah. And you need somebody who will push their buttons. And whenever I found out that, you know, I mean, I always knew that Coach Bickerstaff was very close to Dwight and James. And, you know, he always used to mess around with the players and just get to know them up personally off the court as well. And I was worried. I was concerned. And I wanted to see how well he would do as a game manager. You know, starting off in the month of December, he had some questionable decisions laid down a stretch in a couple of games. But he's starting to improve. He's starting to make wiser decisions. And you can see that. Whenever there's a late game situation going on, he'll bring the team over. He'll bring the point guard over and discuss what the options are, let them know. You know, he is behaving like the floor general the Rockets need off the court. And I think that's very important. Now, on your point on Capella and Howard, I wrote a piece on them earlier last month, and I wrote about it's on ESPN975.com. I wrote about how you know they could set some league records this season if they continue. They're at 85% on defensive rebounds and they're around 40% on. You know, they're rebounding the basketball. But the biggest thing that I have a concern with that lineup is offensively.
Yeah.
You know, James Harden requires, you know, spacing.
A lot of sports floor spacing, yeah.
Yeah, he needs to, if he wants to probe the defense, he needs to be able to get inside. Now, when you have two bigs, that'll cause a lot more turnovers. You know, James Harden, that's why you've seen those 5, 6, 7 turnover games as of late, is because the paint is a lot more squished. You know, he's not able to get inside, make the pass out. And the Rockets have had to be creative. You know, we've seen some things offensively with the flare screens and stuff like that, utilizing Capella's ability. In the past 5 games, the first play of every game for the Rockets has been a Harden-Capella pick and roll.
bounce pass to Capella, lob to Dwight.
Yeah.
Now no, that's great and all. That. But the problem is that, you know, lately the teams have been sitting on James Harden's bounce passes. And, you know, that's creating a lot more turnovers. You know, the last two games they've had 9 turnovers each in each of the first quarters. So that remains to be seen. Now back to defensively. One thing that I don't blame on JB, but I want to get your thoughts on, Dwight Howard is not honoring a lot of these centers that can shoot the basketball.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. I was there at the Atlanta game.
With Al Horford. Yeah.
Al Horford went off. And I went to the locker room and you know, Dwight talked about, you know, we all need to, be back. In my mind, you know, you gave him a lot of those threes, you know, and I think that's where Dwight's, along with that's where Dwight's minutes and you know, Dwight's defensive impact have dwindled this season has been because he's not respecting those jump shots. There was a play today with Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns had a pick and pop. You know, he thought the Karl-Anthony Towns, once he set the screen, would roll inside, but no, he stayed back. He knocked on a three, and Dwight was not even 5 feet away from him. So, you know, those kind of plays, those kind of defensive liability issues, you know, that's going to cost the Rockets some games when they go against the Warriors, when they go against the Spurs, because those teams have, you know, front court players who can shoot the basketball. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually, Matt Moore kind of wrote he actually tweeted out an interesting stat yesterday. Dwight Howard has the highest defensive rating, and by the way, the higher the defensive rating, the worse. The highest defensive rating since age 20. And you can definitely see that. He's playing okay individual defense, but in terms of making up for, you know, guys getting you know, driven past, he's not doing well on that. Like, he's not making up for Harden's mistakes well. He's not making up for Beverly's mistakes well. He's not recovering in time enough. And I just think that could be injuries, that could be age. His mobility is definitely declining. But as to the, you know, stretching out on bigs, I think that's always been a thing with Dwight Howard. I think he's just been trained to kind of stay and protect the rim. And, you know, at all costs. I don't know who taught him that. That's just something that I've noticed with him. You know, just he's, like, you know, so focused on staying next to the rim no matter what. Like, the only time he leaves is kind of to avoid
that. Yeah, but the problem is that teams are now honing in on that and they're bringing him out on pick and roll. So whenever he's out there, Capella has to stay back. And, you know, Capella's
to sort of play devil's advocate and kind of come to Dwight's defense here, I mean, I think he played pretty well on Marc Gasol yesterday. I mean, he did come out a lot on Marc Gasol after Mark beat him on a couple of those mid-range jumpers. He did step out a lot. So I think maybe it's a... You know, Dwight's sort of a guy where you have to feed him a lot more, and then he'll get more involved in the defensive end. I mean, that's just one of his things, and he said it himself. I mean, when he's more involved on the offensive end, and they've made a conceded effort to, you know, make him more involved in the offensive end, he's more involved in the defensive end. So I do think there's a correlation there. See, these past 5 games, I think he's played pretty good defense.
Yeah, but the Rockets also need a reliable rim protector, and I think one of my friends on Twitter, you know, if you follow him, his name is Rockets. Harden's Intellect.
Yeah,
he's a good follow if you're part of Red Nation. Yeah. You know, one thing he noted today, and I saw it too. Dwight Howard, whenever somebody's, you know, attacking the rim, he's looking to strip the ball away. He's not even contesting vertically, and it's not something, you know, I've seen a lot from over his career, but I've noticed in the past couple of games is that, you know, his rim protection, like as you talk about with Matt Moore's stat, his rim protection has decreased, and with that, some of these habits that developed where he's not going up and contesting his shot, but rather, you know, trying to, you know, strip the ball away, and even when he contests a shot, sometimes he's either late, sometimes he gets a goaltend, and let's say he does alter the shot, there's not always a weak side, you know, defender rotating over to get the to get the defensive rebound, and it allows teams to, you know, get the offensive rebound, kick it back out for a three, and that just punishes the Rockets.
Yeah, and you're starting to see that you know, game, like, it's almost become like a game, like, a once a game thing for Dwight Howard, like that goaltending thing where he goes up and I guess in his head that, you know, he went up early enough and to, you know, to block that shot, but it's always on the way down, and that that's a sign of his athleticism in reaction time declining. That's a sign of age, you know. And I've been kind of hesitant to acknowledge Dwight's decline, but I think in these situations where he goes up for the goaltend, that's a game time situation. Like that's something you get from, you know, playing thousands and thousands of minutes, and that's something, you know, that starts to fade away a little bit. The timing, and he's starting to lose that. And I don't know if it's a matter of, you know, his injuries adding up over time, or more to do his minutes, or if it's a combination of both. But his reaction time definitely is going down a little bit. And you know, that sparked a lot of rumors. You know, there's a lot of talk of trading Dwight Howard this year.
And I think you do have to consider it. I mean, it's a plausible thing. Yeah. And you know, so we'll talk about it here. So our last part of the podcast is going to be a buy and sell. Mm-hmm. What is it? Buying stock?
It's a buy or sell. Yeah. So basically, I'm gonna say a stat out, and you tell me if you buy or sell. Okay. Simple enough. The Rockets have won 5 games in a row. Have they turned? They've turned a corner. Buy or sell? And I'll go first. I sell for right now. What about you?
I'm gonna sell for 2 more games.
Yeah, I have one caveat. If they compete in that Cleveland game till the bitter end, win or loss, if they compete well in that Cleveland game, I'm bought in, but I'm not all the way bought in. Like I'm not championship bought in. I'm bought in that they're a good team again.
See, if they compete, but for me, it's looking at it defensively. You know, Cleveland last night against the Mavericks played a hell of a game defensively late in that game. They have some great perimeter defenders. They play some great team defense. If the Rockets can match up with that defensively, if they can match up with that intensity, I'm going to buy in.
Okay. Corey Brewer, over his last 15 games, has shot 36% from the three-point line. This is completely sustainable. Buy or sell?
From the corner, sustainable. Sell. I mean, sorry, buy.
Okay.
The Rockets are exclusively putting him in shooting situations where he's in the corner. I'm going to buy.
Okay, I'm gonna sell because you know Corey Brewer does this with us a lot. Like he goes on these binges where he goes off from the 3-point line and he kind of fools us a lot. Like he does this for like a 10 game stretch. Like when the Rockets first acquired him, I mean he was going bonkers from 3-point line, and then you know slowly over time he regressed to the means. So for right now, I'll sell. If he can do this for 10 or 20 more games, maybe I'll buy in. But just history has shown that he's not, you know, that's just not him, you know. Okay, and so the Rockets are 8th in offensive rating this year. They are now an elite offensive team, and this is what you're going to see for the rest of the season by yourself.
So I think they can get better when Donatas Motiejunas and Ty Lawson get more minutes together. When Donatas Motiejunas is more integrated into the offense, and when his back is healed, I think it'll go up.
Okay. Oh, so you think it's going to go up? Okay. I'll go ahead and say I think it'll definitely go up a little bit. And
I mean, obviously not towards the Spurs or Warriors caliber, mm-hmm. but you'll see a little bit more. Maybe it's around a 7th or 6th. They were around 8th last year, so I wouldn't be surprised if they stay consistent. It's early in the season still.
Okay, January 20th, Ty Lawson, Terrence Jones, Corey Brewer, all these players are still on the roster. Buy or sell?
That's tough. I'm going to have to sell. I think that if there is a deal to be made for Terrence Jones, that it will be made. And from those I've talked to, it's not out of the question that Terrence Jones can be in the trade soon.
Okay. And my last one. Terrence Jones and Donatas Motiejunas each demand $15-plus million this summer. Buy or sell?
Oh, I buy that. I mean, right now the market for a power forward that can shoot the ball and space the floor is a value. And I think we'll see Terrence start the next couple games. I think he'll replace Capella and line up. He replaced Capella in the second half of this game. I think we'll see that. And maybe, you know, Terrence Jones starts showing up. Kevin McHale always had this famous quote that stuck with me is that, you know, you are what you are your third or fourth year in the league. And right now Terrence is in his fourth year. He is who he's going to be. And we're going to see that for the rest of the season. So if he plays well, then I think you have a viable guy you can get just $15 million to. But I also want to see how well Demo plays when he gets back.
Okay, I'll sell. And before I continue, I'm a pretty avid Terrence Jones defender. In that, like, I think he's a good player, and I think people are way too harsh on him. Immediately, I mean, the start of the season, he was a scapegoat. Like, people blamed him for how bad the Rockets are starting off, and I just think that's completely unfair. And he's been in trade talks pretty much ever since he's became a Rocket. I mean, when Dwight Howard first came here, what were the talks? We need to get a stretch four next to him. We need to get Ryan Anderson. We need to get LaMarcus Aldridge. We need to get Kevin Love. And then his second year came around, and, okay, we need a third star. Okay, and then this year came around. Okay, he's like, okay, you know, D-Mo's our guy. We need to get rid of this guy. You know, and I just think it's completely unfair on Terrence Jones. I mean, he's just had these knick-knack injuries, these really, really weird injuries. You know, last year he had the lung infection. This year he had the eye laceration twice. And it's just really, really unfortunate. It's completely, you know, coincidental. I just think it's an unfortunate coincidence what happens to him, you know, these random injuries. And because of that, you know, when he gets on these roles, he often gets nicked up. And then, you know, we don't get to see that, you know, that role he was on. And, you know, with that being said, I sell. I don't think he's going to demand $15 million this year in the offseason just because I don't think he's good enough defensively to demand that much. He's just really poor defensively, and
yeah, you know, he makes some boneheaded decisions. In the past couple games, I've had 6, 7, 8 instances where I've written down some boneheaded mistakes on the defensive end, whether it's on a switch or on a pick and roll defense or it's a weak side rotation. I don't trust him yet defensively, and I think when you have Dwight, who's rim protecting skills, for lack of a better word, are regressing, you know, you need some guy who can make up for that, and I just don't trust Terrence at this point of time.
Yeah, and a lot of that is his size. Unfortunately, you know, guys can just shoot over him, and guys can just body him up. He's just not strong enough or tall enough to play defense at a high level on these guys that can stretch him out. Like, LaMarcus Aldridge always torches him. I mean, then that's, like, starting from the 2014 playoffs on to today, he's just always torched him. And other guys who can hit the mid-range J, they just always torch him. Ryan Anderson, you can go, Kevin Love, you can go on and on. I mean, they just always torch him. And, you know, guys like Zach Randolph are, you know, they can easily body him up like they did yesterday. And I that's a part of his size, but at the same time, he's just not quick enough on his feet to make up for, you know, like other guys with his size, you know, they're still quick enough to resist, you know, make up for, you know, their physical.
I mean, he's playing well lately on the offensive end. They're giving him more plays that Josh Smith had last season. So, I mean, I'm gonna you know, give him a little bit more time, see how he does in the starting lineup. You know, because he did start the second half, so we'll see. You know, if he does get inserted, but I mean, you know, I'm not gonna give up on him just yet, even though a lot of people already do so.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on him. I just don't think he's gonna demand that much money. And also, Demo, I just think that back, man. I think we really underestimated that back when he went down before the postseason last year.
And I was kind of surprised he came back that fast. I was kind of expecting him to be out much longer, you know, past the All-Star break. But, you know, if I were the Rockets, I'd let him take as much time as we need. You know, playoffs is where it's at. They are the 6th seed right now, moving towards the 5th seed. Just get him healthy. We're going to need him in the playoffs. You need another playmaker at that position. And so, you know, hopefully he comes back healthy.
And they can afford to. They can afford to lay off right now. You know, all the other big men are healthy. I mean, it's just him right now. And the reason they rushed him back so quick was because at the time, you know, Clint Capella was out and Terrence Jones was out with that weird eye laceration. And he didn't even get any contact practices before. Like, you know, those were his contact practices. In-game situation, they rushed him out so quickly.
You know, and the Rockets know that he's the hardest worker there. He comes every day. He stays, gets extra reps in. So, you know, you feel for a guy like Demo, but, you know, we need him back healthy. So hopefully, you know, he take as much time as he needs. And with that, that will conclude this episode of the Red Nation Hoops podcast. So, Amon, tell them where you can find your stuff.
You can find me at House of Houston. And you can follow me on Twitter at @RedNation_Hoops. You can follow Lee Khan on Twitter at @Rockets_Insider. And tell them where you can find yourself.
I just joined down with ESPN Houston last month. The new website and web app have launched, and you can find my stuff on there. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry we couldn't get you to your questions today.
Before we go, do you have anything to plug? Have you written anything lately that the guys can, you know, hear about?
Oh, yeah. So,
you know, there's a new – so I've been writing The Insider, and this is a new series of posts that will be posted after every game. So after every Rockets game, the next morning, I'll have a post with a certain number of thoughts and some quotes and some insight from the game that I heard about. And you can check out it every morning on ESPN975.com.
Yeah, and I've written something on Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley is shooting damn good from three-point line. And we're 40 games in, and that continues to be his trend. And I think it's real. I think he's taken his three-point shooting to another level. So you can find that piece on Patrick Beverley has become an elite shooter. You can just Google that, and it'll show up. It's houseofhouston.com.
I just Googled it. I'm about to read it right now. Someone.
Yeah. He's shooting better from Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki, Damian Lillard, and just a whole bunch of really, really good three-point shooters right now from the three-point line. And
the weapon that we need.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I really think, and this is kind of weird to say, but I think he's going to make the most clutch shot in Rockets history. Like, I just think it's going to happen. Like, he has the mental makeup for it. Like, I think he's going to make a shot in the playoff series one day, and it's going to save the Rockets. I just think it's going to happen. Like, I think he's going to hit some really, really clutch shot. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it's going to happen within the next 2 or 3 years. I just think, you know, I think it's going to surpass the kiss of death. I think it's going to surpass any other shot you can think of, you know, the Kenny Smith shot, any shot you can think of. I just think it's going to happen. Like, I don't know. That's something weird to say, but I don't know. His three-point shooting has gone up to such a level that I'm, like, before, you were kind of, he was an okay shooter. He was, like, 37% for his career, but now he's taking it to, like, he's 43% from the three-point line. I mean, that's insane. That's Danny Green level. Like,
yeah, you know, he's playing really well, and hopefully continues. Just prayers out to him and his family. On his grandmother, who's seriously ill right now, you know, prayers to her.
Yeah.
Hopefully she recovers. But anyways, thanks for joining us, guys. We'll talk to you guys soon. You know, follow us both on Twitter, join the conversation, and we'll see you next
subscribe
time.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yeah, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Thanks, guys.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.